For 7 years in the late 60s and early 70s, Mission Impossible was one of the most popular series on television. Now ABC is trying to repeat that success. TV critic David Bianculli has a review of the new Mission Impossible.
This summer, when TV writers were in the middle of their 5-month strike, ABC announced that one way it would deal with the absence of new scripts was to film old ones, to take an old series or special and make a brand new version with a new cast. This idea, which might be described as an instant rerun, can't be credited solely to the writer's strike. NBC's recent revival of the Alfred Hitchcock anthology series took old scripts from that show and made them again, and for the most part improved upon the originals. So when ABC decided that it would remake episodes of Mission Impossible, it sounded like a potentially good idea. Which of the memorably far-fetched stories would ABC revive? The one where they used drugs and cosmetic surgery to convince an aging mafia leader that he's back in his salad days of prohibition? The one where they used drugs and hypnosis to convince a bad guy that he really had a nice streak and suddenly wanted to settle down and get married? Or the one where they used drugs to knock a guy out and convince him that he'd survived a plane crash but landed on an uncharted island overrun by prison escapees? In the old days, the Impossible Missions Force used drugs a lot. Not personally, but on the bad guy of the week. Anyway, all of this conjecture turns out to be a waste of time, because when the writer's strike ended, ABC decided that it had time to order new scripts after all. So it hastily dispatched writers to crank out new stories featuring an almost all-new cast of characters. One holdover from the old show is Peter Graves as Jim Phelps, who is brought out of retirement to avenge the murder of his best friend. The other holdover is a very familiar voice, heard on CD this time instead of reel-to-reel tape.
Your mission, Jim, should you decide to accept it, is to ensure Connor's conviction and thereby deliver a body blow to the entire world of organized crime. As always, should you or any of your IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This disc will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
In the 60s, the IM force was a group of hidden heroes. But in the 80s, the blatant political deniability of this secret agency brings to mind too many recent scandals. Replace Peter Graves with Ollie North, and you see the problem. That doesn't really get in the way of the enjoyment of the show, though. It just makes you feel a little guilty if you do enjoy it. The updated technology in the new Mission Impossible is fun to watch, and it's a mindlessly entertaining exercise to compare the new IM Force with its series of predecessors. The most direct comparison, of course, is Phil Morris, who plays Grant Collier, a second-generation IMF member. He's the real-life son of Greg Morris, who played Barney Collier on the old series. And based on the new show's first episode, it appears that the father was much better at perspiring under pressure. The writers are under even more pressure, and they've started out by making some ridiculously stupid errors. Here's a scene in which a hitman is driven by taxi from the London airport to a nearby hotel. He's detained when a policeman stops the cab for speeding. And both the cab driver and the cop, of course, are IMF members in disguise.
You were going 20 miles over the speed limit.
20 miles? Listen, officer, this fare of mine is in a bit of a hurry. You see, I picked him up at Heathrow.
Could I just see your license, please, sir?
Would you have a heart, mate?
Now, excuse me for being picky, but wouldn't a London police officer measure speed in kilometers, not miles? It's the sort of mistake that, in the old Mission Impossible series, might have tipped off the bad guy that the whole thing was a quick and dirty setup. In the new Mission Impossible, ABC is hoping that viewers won't notice, or, in true Mission Impossible spirit, will decide to accept it.
David Bianculli is television critic for The New York Post.